This is Bloomberg Daybreak for this Monday, January 23rd, 2017. Coming up this hour.
Gold rises, treasury yields fall, and the dollar weakens following the inauguration of President Donald Trump.
Yahoo is said to be facing a probe from the SEC over its data breaches.
J.P. Morgan could move 2,500 jobs from London as the U.K. seeks to leave the EU's single market.
It will be a busy Monday for President Donald Trump. He will hold his first meeting as president with Republicans and Democrats in Congress. I'm Michael Barr. More straight ahead.
I'm John Stanshauer in sports. It'll be the Patriots and the Falcons in Super Bowl 51 in Houston. They both won conference championship games rather easily over the Steelers and Packers. Rangers won in overtime. Islanders lost in overtime.
That's all straight ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak on Bloomberg 1130 New York, Bloomberg 99.1 Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 1200 Boston, Bloomberg 960 San Francisco, Sirius XM 119, and around the world on Bloomberg.com and via the Radio Plus mobile app.
Good morning, I'm Karen Moscow.
I'm Bob Moon. Bloomberg Daybreak, brought to you by CGMA, the Chartered Global Management Accountant designation, informed by best practices across the world to bring strategic insight to your finance team. Learn more at cgma.org/radio.
And it's 5:01 on Wall Street, and we check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. And futures this morning are lower. S&P E-mini futures down 4 points, Dow E-mini futures down 20, and NASDAQ E-mini futures down 12. The DAX in Germany is down 0.4%, so is the CAC in Paris, and the FTSE 100 is down 0.7%. 10-year Treasury up 1/32nd, the yield 2.46%, the yield on the 2-year 1.18%. NYMEX crude oil down 0.8% or 41 cents to $52.81 a barrel. COMEX gold up 0.6% or $7.30 to $12.12.20 an ounce. And the euro, $1.0730.
Equities in Asia kicked off trading for the week today. Bloomberg's Juliet Sally has the latest from our Hong Kong bureau.
Most Asian markets closed higher Monday despite a mixed start as investors responded to the inauguration of President Trump and after the Chinese central bank pumped liquidity into the system over the weekend to help ease a cash crunch ahead of the Lunar New Year holiday. The Shanghai Composite rose by 0.4%. Stocks in Shenzhen were up almost 1%. Stocks in Hong Kong meanwhile fluctuated and shares in Taiwan surged to their highest close since June 2015. China's yuan meanwhile halted a two-day decline in Asian trade to trade near a two-month high after the PBOC strengthened the currency's fix and the dollar dropped. However, the dollar's weakness boosted the yen that weighed on Japanese equities, the Nikkei 225 dropping more than 1%, its first loss in four sessions. Juliet Sali, Bloomberg Daybreak, Hong Kong.
The dollar weakness comes on the heels of President Trump's inauguration address, which offered very few details on fiscal policy while fueling concerns about increased trade protectionism.
From this day forward, it's going to be only America first. America first.
The U.S. dollar has extended losses since Friday's speech. The Bloomberg Dollar Spot Index is currently at 100.4, and the yen has strengthened to 113.61 against the dollar.
Meantime, U.S. Treasury yields have also fallen due to a lack of specifics in Friday's speech, which is fanning doubts about the feasibility of President Trump's economic plan. Adam Posen is president of the Peterson Institute for International Economics.
They can't pay for what they're currently proposing. It will add to the U.S. debt in the very short term. But we may get 2 years, possibly 3 years of a bit more growth. And since we're close to full employment anyways, we'll probably get some wage growth. So it's not all bad. It's just unsustainable.
Peterson Institute for International Economics President Adam Posen says we're likely headed for a boom-bust cycle. Meanwhile, Mitsubishi UFJ Morgan Stanley Securities senior market economist predicts the yield on 10-year U.S. Treasuries will fall to 2.1% by the end of March. Checking the yield on the 10-year now, it is currently at 2.45%. Uncertainty about Mr. Trump's presidency is also causing gold to rise this morning. Bullion rallied to the highest level in 2 months as investors shun risk and embrace the metal over the dollar. COMEX gold is currently trading at $1,212.50 an ounce, and so far this year, it's advanced in every trading session but two.
In corporate news this morning, Yahoo is said to be facing a Securities and Exchange Commission probe over its multiple data breaches. The Wall Street Journal says regulators are investigating whether the company should have told investors about the breaches sooner. The SEC has reportedly requested documents and opened a probe into Yahoo's announcement of the cyber attacks.
Meanwhile, Yahoo is set to announce earnings after the close of U.S. trading today. Bloomberg's Jeff Bellinger has a preview.
The consensus among analysts who cover the internet company is that Yahoo will post an adjusted profit of 21 cents a share on revenue of nearly $909 million. Yahoo gets a dozen buy ratings, 19 hold ratings, and no sell ratings. Bloomberg Intelligence says investors may be more interested in updates related to Verizon's proposed acquisition of Yahoo and on plans for stakes in Alibaba and Yahoo Japan after the deal closes. Experts say last year's data breaches at Yahoo probably won't affect the takeover deal unless Verizon can prove that the hacking caused long-term damage to the company's earnings potential. Jeff Bellinger, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Thank you, Jeff. We're learning more today about the flaw that caused Samsung's Note 7 smartphones to explode last year. The company says faulty batteries were to blame. Bloomberg's Rosalind Chin reports from our Hong Kong bureau.
There were flaws in both the design and manufacturing of Galaxy Note 7 batteries. The investigation found electrodes in the initial batch of batteries came into contact with each other, causing a short circuit. These were made by an affiliate called Samsung SDI. But then replacement batteries, this time made by Amperex Technology, also triggered overheating and fires, but due to a different defect. South Korea's biggest company took full legal responsibility for the recall and said it's focused on learning from its mistakes. The next product in its Galaxy S line is likely to be launched in March or April this year. Rosalind Chin, Bloomberg, Hong Kong.
Rosalind, thank you. And Brexit reportedly has J.P. Morgan's considering moving 2,500 jobs out of London. That's according to a Polish business publication, which says the firm is considering relocating staff to Germany, Poland, and other Central European countries. J.P. Morgan will reportedly make a final decision later this year. And futures this morning are lower, with S&P E-mini futures down 4 points, Dow E-mini futures down 20, and NASDAQ E-mini futures down 12, the DAX in Germany down 0.4%. Straight ahead, we have the latest world and national news. This is Bloomberg.
Thank you, Karen. That brings us to 5:07 on Wall Street. The new president gets down to work. Let's bring in Bloomberg's Michael Barr with the very latest. Good morning to you, Michael.
Good morning, Bob. President Donald Trump is meeting with congressional leaders from both parties today to discuss his agenda as he enters his first official week in the White House. Trump is trying to deliver on his campaign promises, such as overhauling the nation's health care system. He's also scheduled a breakfast with business leaders. This afternoon, Trump will meet with union leaders and workers. President Trump tweeted about the women's marches on Saturday. On Sunday, Trump tweeted, "Watch protests yesterday, but was under impression that we just had an election. Why didn't these people vote?" Later, Trump tweeted, "Peaceful protests are a hallmark of our democracy." On ABC's This Week, Kellyanne Conway, consular to the president, spoke about the rallies.
"We just had an election, and a lot of what I heard from this march yesterday in Washington, we heard all through the election. And that whole messaging and their candidate, Hillary Clinton, lost. 29 to 30 million women voted for Donald Trump. Their voices are heard as well. They should be respected."
Marches were held in Washington and across the U.S., including New York. In France, Benoît Hamon has taken a surprising lead in the first round of the socialist primaries over favorite Manuel Valls. Bloomberg's Caroline Conan has more from our Paris bureau.
Benoît Hamon, who's considered much more on the left of the Socialist Party than Manuel Valls, is an admirer of Bernie Sanders. He was even kicked out of Valls' government in 2014 for criticizing his economic policies, which he said were too liberal, too pro-business. Manuel Valls came out second, but as a former prime minister, he had to defend the policies of President François Hollande, an almost impossible task. Caroline Conan, Bloomberg Daybreak, Paris.
Syria peace talks take place in Kazakhstan today in the first attempt in months to end the six-year civil war. Bloomberg's Henry Meyer has more from Moscow.
Russia, Turkey, and Iran are entering a new phase in their push to end the war in Syria. The U.S. has been sidelined from the process, though Russia says it's invited representatives of the new Trump administration to attend the meeting. Henry Mayer, Bloomberg Daybreak, Moscow.
Global news 24 hours a day, powered by more than 2,600 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Bob.
Thank you, Michael. Now 5:09 on Wall Street. Time for your Bloomberg NBC Sports Update. Good morning to you, John Stashower.
Morning, Bob. Super Bowl 51 in 2 weeks in Houston. New England versus Atlanta. It'll be the Patriots' 9th Super Bowl. That's the most of any team. They'll try to win their 5th. The Falcons have never won, have only been once before. They've gone 18-30 over the previous 3 seasons. But this year, Falcons put together an offense that scored 540 points, the 7th most in NFL history. And in the NFC Championship game, the last game ever at the Georgia Dome, that offense was on display.
Waiting the shotgun snap. It comes in chest high. Fakes the give to Freeman. Sets the throw. Fires over the middle. Jones with a catch at the 40. A flag down as Jones goes to midfield. Jones steps through a tackle at the 40. A stiff arm at the 30. Fighting down the sideline to the 20. To the 10. And high stepping in for the touchdown. 73 yards for Julio Jones.
Westwood won the call. That came a 1:09 into the second half after Jones had scored with 3 seconds left in the first half. Made it 31-0. The final was 44-21 over Green Bay. Matt Ryan playing like an MVP. 27 of 38, 392 yards, 14 easy, ran for another. Jones had 180 yards. The AFC game little closer, but Pittsburgh missed a field goal, had a costly fumble in the first half, trailed 17-9, and then the Patriots put the game away.
Brady in the gun, 3-1. Points out his protections. Looks into the nickel of Pittsburgh. He gets the low shotgun snap. He sets. He moves up. There's a line drive in the end zone. Caught. Wide open. 2 yards deep in the end zone. Down the middle. Julian Edelman. A two-handed shoulder-high grab for a New England touchdown.
They beat Steelers 36-17 with Tom Brady throwing for 3 TDs. 2 to Chris Hogan from Monmouth College in New Jersey. The Patriots are a 3-point favorite to beat the Falcons in Houston. Rangers on a JT Miller goal in overtime won 1-0 at Detroit. Philadelphia 3-2 overtime win over the Islanders. With the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update, I'm John Stashower. Bob?
Thanks, John. Another sports news this morning. Steelers wide receiver Antonio Brown is said to have landed a contract with Facebook in the high 6 figures. That's according to a report from NFL.com. Brown streamed video from the Steelers locker room via Facebook Live last week. Following their victory over the Kansas City Chiefs, Brown may face a fine from the team for that move. S&P E-mini futures currently down 4 points. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. Brought to you by Command Financial. The business world is constantly evolving. Is your financial printer evolving with it? Call 212-274-0070 and learn how Command Financial is redefining financial printing. CommandFinancial.com.
Global business news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Radio Plus mobile app, and on your radio. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. European shares and U.S. futures are sliding, the dollar weakening on the first full trading day since Donald Trump's inauguration. As investors await more details on his policies, metals and Asian shares outside of Japan rose. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P E-mini futures down 3.5 points. Dow E-mini futures down 17. NASDAQ E-mini futures down 11. DAX in Germany's down 0.4%. The 10-year Treasury up 3/32. The yield 2.45%. NYMEX crude oil down 1.2% or 62 cents to $52.60 a barrel. COMEX gold up 0.7% or $8.20 to $12.13.10 an ounce. The euro $1.0739, the yen 113.51. McDonald's and Yahoo among companies scheduled to report earnings today and Friday. The U.S. government issues its initial estimate of fourth quarter GDP. An economist forecast an economic growth rate of 2.2%. Bloomberg's Vinny Del Giudice has the details.
In the third quarter, the economy expanded at a 3.5% pace, the fastest in 2 years. What does the fourth quarter data hold? Regions Financial says a wider trade deficit probably subtracted from another quarter of solid consumer spending. Also on this week's calendar, data on home sales, both new and previously owned, as well as preliminary figures on merchandise trade and wholesale inventories. Vinny Del Giudice, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Thanks, Vinny, and that's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Good morning, Michael.
Good morning, Karen. A former Republican rival to President Donald Trump is in the spotlight as the Senate Foreign Relations Committee prepares to vote today on Rex Tillerson as Secretary of State. Marco Rubio, a strong critic of Russian President Vladimir Putin, has clashed with Tillerson on the subject. Congressional leaders from both parties will meet with President Trump. He'll discuss his agenda at a meeting with leaders today as he works to begin delivering on his campaign promises. In sports, it will be the New England Patriots against the Atlanta Falcons in Super Bowl 51. The Patriots slammed Pittsburgh 36-17 to win the AFC title. Earlier, the Falcons rolled over Green Bay 44-21 to win the NFC title. In the NHL, the Rangers won in overtime over the Red Wings. The Islanders lost in overtime to the Flyers. The Bruins lost. In the NBA, the Warriors won. Global news, 24 hours a day, powered by more than 2,600 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Bob.
Michael, thank you very much. As we've reported, concerns over the protectionist tone of President Donald Trump's inaugural address are rippling across markets today. We're watching as gold rises, treasury yields fall, the dollar weakens on this first full trading day since the new U.S. leader took office. What are the risks of a trade war developing between the U.S. and China? Callum Henderson can address that question. He's head of global markets in the Asia-Pacific region for Eurasia Group and is joining us from Singapore now on the Spectrum Enterprise phone line. Spectrum Enterprise, nationwide fiber-based network and IT infrastructure solutions. Callum Henderson, good morning and welcome. How concerned should we be about what protectionism could mean if it triggers bad blood between the U.S. and China?
Hi, good morning. Yes, I think it's a great question. Clearly, a lot of investors were focused on the possibility that what Donald Trump did might be different from what he said during the campaign. However, following the inauguration speech, there have been some jitters across Asian and European financial markets, and now, of course, in the U.S., on the view that what Donald Trump will actually do may well be the same as what he's actually said. And more specifically, with regard to China, that China could be named a currency manipulator, that trade tariffs could be slapped on China, and that could hurt global growth. So clearly a nervous and uncertain start to the week, and definitely specific concerns with regard to China leading the way.
If a trade war were to break out between the U.S. and China, who would be the obvious losers on this side of the Pacific?
Gosh, well, the easiest way to answer that is everyone would be a loser, both in the U.S. and also in Asia. In terms of the countries or economies that are closely linked to China, obviously China is a major source of import demand for emerging markets as a whole, not just in Asia. Most Asian countries have their largest trading partner as China. So if trade tariffs were put on China, then some of the Chinese import demand, which is then re-exported by China, would, of course, fall, and that could hit Asian countries across the board. But it could also hit other emerging market regions. Other regions and other countries, both in Latin America and also in Africa, have very high exposure to Chinese import demand. So it would be a general negative for the emerging market asset class.
General negative. How about companies such as Nike and its shoes made overseas, Apple and its iPhones made in China?
I wouldn't really want to comment on specific companies, but what I would say is that the supply chains that have been built up across Asia, eventually ending in the U.S., would clearly be disrupted. So the price of trade would increase. That would be inflationary. Rising inflation and also a hit to growth would cause fears of stagflation. So all of that is a negative for risk appetite.
Got about a half minute left here. Let me ask you this. How concerned are you about a trade war breaking out, given what you heard from Donald Trump on Friday?
Probably very, very concerned to the possibility. Our base case is somewhat more benign, that China will be named a currency manipulator, but that trade tariffs will only be specific to certain industries rather than across the board, and that an all-out trade war still seems unlikely as our base case. But certainly it's a rising possibility, and that's what the market is focused on at the moment.
Callum Henderson is head of global markets in the Asia-Pacific region for Eurasia Group. We appreciate your insights this morning, and he has joined us on the Spectrum Enterprise phone line. Spectrum Enterprise, nationwide fiber-based network and IT infrastructure solutions. Let's take a forward look at the markets now. S&P E-mini futures currently down 3 points. That is a tenth of 1%. Dow E-minis lower by 14 points. NASDAQ E-mini futures down by 10 points. 10-year Treasury prices up 1/32nd. The yield at 2.46%. The 2-year yield at 1.1884%. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak, and this is Bloomberg Radio. Daybreak brought to you by The Breakers Palm Beach, Florida's most iconic beachfront resort paradise. The Breakers Palm Beach just made your favorite winter escape harder to resist. Visit thebreakers.com or call 1-800-BREAKERS.
Broadcasting live to New York, Bloomberg 1130, to Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 99.1, to Boston, Bloomberg 1200, to San Francisco, Bloomberg 960, to the country, Sirius XM Channel 119, and around the globe, the Bloomberg Radio Plus app and Bloomberg.com. This is Bloomberg Daybreak.
And it's 5:30 on Wall Street. Good morning. I'm Karen Moscow.
I'm Bob Moon. Daybreak brought to you by SEI. In the future, the asset management business will be profoundly different. Find out how SEI's global operating platform can help you navigate the new operational frontier at seic.com/imagine.
And we're just about 4 hours away from the opening of U.S. trading. Let's get you up to date on the news you need to know at this hour. Brexit reportedly has J.P. Morgan considering moving 2,500 jobs out of London. That's according to a Polish business publication, which says the firm is considering relocating staff to Germany, Poland, and other Central European countries. J.P. Morgan will reportedly make a final decision later this year.
We'll get a full plate of U.S. earnings reports this week. Bloomberg's Charlie Pellett reports.
Analysts are forecasting income at S&P 500 firms expanded 4.3% in the fourth quarter, with banks, utility, and technology companies experiencing the fastest growth. Stephen Wood is chief market strategist at Russell Investments.
We think earnings, again, will do okay. They'll probably come in into estimates. The economy is doing okay, so we don't have a recession call. We don't have a lookout below call, but it's going to be a big stretch for earnings to come into these valuations.
And among the companies reporting earnings this week, Google parent Alphabet, Microsoft, 3M, Johnson & Johnson, and Boeing. Charlie Pellett, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Thanks, Charlie. According to people familiar with the matter, LG has reached an agreement to supply television displays to its rival Samsung. LG will replace Sharp and Foxconn as supplier to the world's biggest TV maker. The agreement would be a first for the longtime South Korean rivals, who have never used each other's panels before.
And staying on the topic of Foxconn, the company is considering investing $7 billion in a U.S. factory, a major investment for Apple's main manufacturer that could create as many as 50,000 American jobs. According to Reuters, Foxconn is considering a joint investment with Sharp, but details have yet to be hammered out.
And Xiaomi Vice President Hugo Barra is returning to Silicon Valley after 4 years at the Chinese phone maker. The former Google executive was originally hired to pitch the company to foreign audiences. Barra says it's time for him to return to the U.S., but he's not saying what he'll do next. Futures this morning are moving lower, with S&P E-mini futures down 3.5 points, Dow E-mini futures down 14, and NASDAQ E-mini futures down 10. The DAX in Germany is down 0.4%. 10-year Treasury up 1/32nd, the yield 2.46%, the yield on the 2-year 1.18%. NYMEX crude oil is down 1.2%, or 62 cents, to $52.60 a barrel. COMEX gold is up 0.7%, or $8.60, to $12.13.50 an ounce. And the euro's at $1.0739. Straight ahead, we have the latest world and national news. This is Bloomberg.
And Karen, that brings us to 5:33 on Wall Street. The new president has said he considers this his first real day in office. Bloomberg's Michael Barr has a preview and more for us now. Good morning, Michael.
Good morning, Bob. The White House says President Donald Trump will meet tonight with bipartisan congressional leaders at the White House. That's according to a person familiar with plans for the meeting. Yesterday, Trump swore in 30 new presidential assistants in the East Room of the White House. Trump reminded them they're in the White House not to, quote, help ourselves, but to devote ourselves to the national good. The president also discussed setting up a meeting with Mexico.
We will be meeting with the president of Mexico, who I know. And we're going to start some negotiations having to do with NAFTA.
Meanwhile, President Trump will not release his tax returns. Consular to the president, Kellyanne Conway, was asked about a petition calling on Trump to release his returns. Conway spoke on ABC's This Week.
The White House response is that he's not going to release his tax returns. We litigated this all through the election. People didn't care. They voted for him. And let me make this very clear. Most Americans are very focused on what their tax returns will look like while President Trump is in office, not what his look like.
Conway also says President Trump will get rid of the Obamacare penalty, saying it's a tax that's a burden on many Americans. Conway says people will not go without coverage. Authorities say a severe storm system in the southeast has left at least 18 people dead. 2 days of apparent tornadoes destroyed mobile homes and scattered others across the area. At least 14 of the deaths came yesterday in Georgia as the intense, fast-moving storm tore across the state. Meanwhile, President Trump says he spoke with Governor Nathan Deal and expressed condolences for the lives taken in Georgia. New York State has ordered health insurers to cover birth control and abortions, even if President Trump signs a repeal of the Affordable Care Act that would lift federal mandates on the industry. According to a statement from Governor Andrew Cuomo, these regulatory actions will help ensure that whatever happens at the federal level, women in our state will have cost-free access to reproductive health care. Global News, 24 hours a day, powered by more than 2,600 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Bob.
Thank you, sir. Now 5:35 on Wall Street. Time for your Bloomberg NBC Sports Update. Good morning to you, John Stashower.
Good morning, Bob. The Patriots have been made a 3-point favorite to beat the Falcons in Super Bowl 51 in Houston. Both teams won their conference championship games at home easily in Atlanta. Last game ever at the Georgia Dome, it was 24-0 at halftime. And then Matt Ryan and Julio Jones connected on a 73-yarder and was 31-0. Atlanta beat Green Bay 44-21. It's just their second Super Bowl ever. The entire city of Atlanta has only won one major sports title. The 1995 Braves won the World Series. That's been it. Going to the Super Bowl, nothing new for the Patriots. It's their record 9th, 7 of those with Bill Belichick and Tom Brady, and only the Giants have figured out a way to beat the Pats in the Super Bowl. They've done it twice. Pats took the AFC title game from Pittsburgh, helped by a trick play.
Deion Lewis in the backfield from the 34-yard line of Pittsburgh. Brady under center with the first down and 10. The snap spins to his left, hands off to Lewis, flips it back to Brady. It's a flea flicker. Brady winds up. Long pass over the shoulder, catch at the goal line. Touchdown, Hogan on the near side. He beat double coverage. What a play. Terrific throw by Brady.
On Westwood One, in a year where they lost Rob Gronkowski to injury and where Brady was suspended the first four games, New England is 16-2. A 36-17 rout of the Steelers. A win in Houston would give Belichick and Brady 5 Super Bowl titles. That'd be the most for a coach and quarterback. In Detroit, scoreless hockey until JT Miller with a minute 56 into overtime gave the Rangers a 1-0 win. Philadelphia ended the Islanders' 3-game win streak, 3-2 in OT. College hoops, Seton Hall down St. John's, 86-73. Rafael Nadal and Gael Monfils just starting their match now at the Australian Open. And Yordano Ventura, the Kansas City Royals, has died in a car accident in the Dominican Republic, only 25 years old. With the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update, I'm John Stashower. Bob?
John, thank you. 5:37 on Wall Street. Time for your Tri-State Business Report. Bloomberg's Ed Corey now. Good morning, Ed.
Morning, Bob. New York Governor Andrew Cuomo wants to strip the State Athletic Commission championship position of its $101,000 annual salary. According to the Daily News, Cuomo made the proposal in his annual spending plan. The Athletic Commission oversees boxing and mixed martial arts in the state. Sun Pharmaceutical Industries may sell its OHM Labs site in New Jersey. According to NBC, the sale could fetch as much as $100 million. Based in India, Sun Pharmaceutical manufactures drugs in the area of diabetes, cardiology, neurology, psychiatry, and gastroenterology. Connecticut's bonds fared worse than any other state in 2016. This year may not be much better. According to Bloomberg Barclays Indexes, the state's securities lost 0.6% last year compared to a 0.25% gain for the broad market, and UBS says the extra yield demanded by investors may rise as Connecticut's financial challenges become more evident. That's your Tri-State Business Report. I'm Ed Corey. Bob?
Ed, thank you. Terra Firma Capital Partners Chairman Guy Hans sat down with us to discuss the state of private equity after Brexit. He spoke to Bloomberg's Guy Johnson.
Britain's going to have to continue to borrow money.
And we won't have the fact that we're within in the European Union, so people will put a risk premium on that. Interest rates will, over the long term, start to go up. That will lead to bankruptcies, and it will lead to opportunities. So, sadly, and this is always one of the strange things about business, I think it's probably bad for the majority of people and bad for the country, but I think for my business, it's probably going to be good.
How big will the opportunity be? You talked about a 30% reduction in wages. Kind of, give me some other numbers.
Well, when I say a 30% reduction in wages, I'm talking about in real terms over 20 years.
Yeah.
Over 20 years.
Right.
So that's a very, very small change each year. So it's similar to a frog getting boiled. Yeah. This is not going to be quick. It's going to be very slow.
Terra Firma Capital Partners Chairman Guy Hans speaking to Bloomberg's Guy Johnson. And now let's check in with our Bloomberg affiliate radio stations to find out what commuters are hearing all about all around the world this morning.
I'm Steve Potusk, and on KNX in Los Angeles, I'm talking about Snapchat's Discover News service cleaning up its act ahead of the L.A. company's planned IPO.
I'm Courtney Donahoe on WHAS in Louisville. Ford could be a loser if trade tensions erupt between the U.S. and China.
I'm Adrian Mitchell, and on WBBM in Chicago, I'm reporting on McDonald's results more than a year after it launched all-day breakfast.
I'm Marcus Carlson on Bloomberg DAB Digital Radio in London. We're following the unveiling of a new U.K. industrial strategy, with Prime Minister May betting on biotech and artificial intelligence.
I'm John Tucker on KOGO in San Diego. I'm reporting the city now has the highest gasoline prices in the continental U.S.
I'm Ed Corey. On WWJ in Detroit, I'm talking about automakers putting digital wallets in cars.
And those are just some of the stories Bloomberg is reporting across the globe this morning. S&P E-mini futures currently down 3 points, a tenth of 1%. 10-year Treasury prices up 1/32. The yield at 2.4633%. Bloomberg Daybreak brought to you by National Realty, managers of New York City cash flow real estate, providing you 12% annualized returns with immediate monthly distributions. See them at nria.net.
Global business news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Radio Plus mobile app, and on your radio. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. European shares and U.S. futures are sliding, and we check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. Right now, S&P E-mini futures are down 4 points, Dow E-mini futures down 17, NASDAQ E-mini futures down 11, the DAX in Germany's down 0.5%. 10-year Treasury, little change, yield 2.46%, the yield on the 2-year 1.18%. NYMEX crude oil is down 1.4% or 72 cents to $52.50 a barrel. COMEX gold is up 0.7% or $8.40 to $12.13.30 an ounce. The euro, $1.0739, the yen, 113.46. And that's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Karen, the White House says President Donald Trump will hold talks with Mexican President Enrique Peña Nieto on January 31st. Trump says they'll discuss immigration and renegotiating the North American Free Trade Agreement. The president is also planning to meet soon with Canadian Prime Minister Justin Trudeau, whose country is also a partner in NAFTA. At least 18 people have died from suspected tornadoes from storms over the weekend in the southeast. In sports, it will be the New England Patriots against the Atlanta Falcons in Super Bowl 51. The Patriots slammed Pittsburgh 36-17 to win the AFC title. Earlier, the Falcons rolled over Green Bay 44-21 to win the NFC title. In the NHL, the Rangers won in overtime over the Red Wings. The Islanders lost in overtime to the Flyers. The Bruins lost. In the NBA, the Warriors won. Global news, 24 hours a day, powered by more than 2,600 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg. Bob?
Thank you, Michael. Now your Bloomberg ETF report from Catherine Cowdery.
Over the past 3 years, about $500 billion has flowed out of actively managed funds, while about $1 trillion has moved into cheaper ETFs and index funds.
This is not a micro trend. It's not something you can ignore. This is the dominant force in the market. I think that's why we're seeing growth here, both in the ETF industry and the conference itself.
That's Matt Hogan, chief executive of Inside ETFs. And it may be one reason why a record 2,300 people are attending Inside ETF's 10th annual conference in Hollywood, Florida. Hogan says topics for discussion include how to properly use smart beta ETFs in a portfolio, what ETF strategies to put in place as interest rates increase, and there'll also be a focus on customer behavior.
We think people have focused a lot on expense ratios and fees, and they've wrung costs out of the system, but we still see a lot of investors making bad decisions at the wrong time and costing themselves 2, 3, 4% a year.
Hogan adds it's no longer possible to set it and forget it with an ETF portfolio. As more ETFs are launched, he says there's always something new, and it's important to keep pace with the changes. At the Inside ETFs Conference, I'm Catherine Cowdery, Bloomberg Radio.
Thank you, Catherine. Now it's time to check in with Bloomberg Gadfly. Gadfly is Bloomberg's global platform for fast commentary and instant analysis about pivotal financial markets and corporate news. We're joined live now by Edward Evans, Bloomberg Gadfly editor in our London bureau. Good morning, Edward. I've been trying to understand Bitcoin, and now I need to get smart on blockchain and why there's a rude awakening ahead for its proponents.
Yes. Now, the finance world's attempt to build a white-collar version of blockchain, now that's the shared ledger technology that underpins a Bitcoin, has generated huge quantities of buzz. But there hasn't been much genuine risk-taking, and nor have we seen much of a result. This year might actually bring a dose of well-needed reality. We might even see a shakeout as the banking industry tries to get myriad projects out of the lab and into the real world. It's easy to see why banks are really interested in this technology. Partly it's fear of being usurped by tech-savvy upstarts, and partly it's the necessity to boost returns by taking a hatchet to their clunky and costly back offices. About the only common element in the wave of initiatives the banks have announced has been a reluctance to actually use Bitcoin. In fact, what they're looking at are regulator-friendly shared databases with centralized authorities and pre-approved users, that rather than an egalitarian network of peers who publicly record and verify trades. But even humdrum attempts to drag what are clumsy IT systems in the 21st century are presented breathlessly as a great leap forward. That's not to dismiss all the stuff out there. That might be rude, given we're in the middle of London Blockchain Week here. But there is a point here. The real risk is going to come when these applications leave the lab. It's not certain that industrial-scale finance blockchains will work as expected, even with twists to improve security and privacy. Don't forget the risk of a cyber attack is becoming more potent. And finance firms will soon themselves confront questions about how much they should be spending on technology. If the evangelists are right, the savings will justify the effort. But also, bank shares have rebounded strongly, and a Trump presidency means, of course, investors are betting on higher returns from lighter regulation. And if they want to keep the buzz going, blockchain's banking backers are going to have to prove they can offer even greater rewards without having the spur for greater risk-taking that would have come from plunging market values.
I love a great alliteration, and this is a real motherlode, this headline on the next story. Bond bonanza bodes best for borrowers' backers. Go ahead.
This is the incredible appetite of debt investors. Debt investors have enabled top-rated companies to sell a staggering amount of debt in the early weeks of 2017. They've quickly absorbed the record $125 billion of investment-grade bonds issued so far this year. Not only that, but they're also pricing in a lower potential risk of the borrowers actually being unable to repay them. Now, this is remarkable because these corporations have been on an almost decade-long borrowing binge. And it doesn't entirely make sense for bondholders, especially considering one of the most popular uses for this borrowed money, stock buybacks. If you look at Fitch, analysts have noted that on one measure, that has surged to the recent highest levels since 2014. Companies are really borrowing to take advantage of cheap money. Yields are still far below their long-term averages. But just watch out of where this goes. Fitch has already downgraded two corporations as a result of aggressive share repurchases, Brown-Forman and Brinker International. It's no stretch to think that others will face a similar fate.
Edward Evans in London, thanks. Find more fast commentary and instant analysis at Bloomberg.com/Gadfly or by typing GADFGO on the Bloomberg.
Now it's time for our daily Bloomberg Law Brief, exploring legal issues in the news. And the Bloomberg Law Brief is brought to you by American Arbitration Association. International trade or business dispute resolve faster with the International Center for Dispute Resolution, the leader in alternative dispute resolution around the world, ICDR.org. Today, Bloomberg Law host Jim Grasso discusses the future of the Dakota Access Pipeline after a judge allowed the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers to move forward with a full environmental study of the 3.5 $1.8 billion pipeline. She speaks with Charles Warren, chair of the environmental law practice at Kramer Levin.
Chuck, there has been a lot of litigation in this case. What is the legal question in this last motion?
Well, I think the legal question here is whether the Army can basically now require an environmental impact statement, after it had already been reviewed by the Corps of Engineers and they indicated there were not adverse environmental impacts, and then it was reversed essentially at the Assistant Secretary of the Army level for civil works, and they asked for this environmental study. And I think that's going to be one of the issues that they raise here.
Trump, whose transition team has said in memos that he supports the pipeline's completion, could he seek to reverse the Army's decision to continue to do the study?
He could do that. It's not that easy. Once they've now said, all right, we think that it's warranted that we do this study, and I think that would bring a lawsuit if they then suddenly say, no, it isn't. But that conceivably could happen because I think that the new administration is going to want to proceed with this pipeline, and this is just sort of the last link of it. And the issue will be it could be delayed for a long time from their standpoint if you go through with this environmental impact study.
Ultimately, will the pipeline be completed, in your opinion?
I think it will be, yes. I mean, they may have to move this last segment, but I think there's places that they can move it, but it's, they built so much of it, I think it'd be unlikely that it's not completed.
And if the Trump administration tries to move forward with it in this particular place, who can sue? Is it the Indian tribes that can sue? Are there other people that can sue?
Yeah, I think the Indian tribes, and then there are others probably who have joined with them to the extent that they have standing to sue. They probably could, but I think there'll be a number of lawsuits to say, hey, the judgment was made that we hadn't taken a complete look at this and we needed to do more, and now you just can't turn around on a dime with no basis and change your position.
That's Charles Warren, chair of the environmental law practice at Kramer Levin, speaking with Bloomberg Law host June Grosso. You can listen to Bloomberg Law weekdays at 1 p.m. Wall Street time here on Bloomberg Radio.
And that's this morning's Bloomberg Law Brief. You can find more legal news at BloombergLaw.com and BloombergBNA.com. Attorneys will find exceptional legal research and business development tools there as well. Visit BloombergLaw.com and BloombergBNA.com for more information.
This is the Bloomberg BNA Report, legal, tax, and compliance information from the Bloomberg 99.1 Newsroom in Washington. Here's Steve Podisk.
President Trump's pick to head the USDA is in, and agribusiness got its man. Farm groups are lining up to support Trump's nomination of former Georgia Governor Sonny Perdue to become the 31st Agriculture Secretary. Former Transportation Secretary Fox doubts private investment alone would cover President Trump's $1 trillion infrastructure plan. Instead, Fox says Trump should look to innovative financing solutions like raising the federal gas tax. President Trump soon will be able to test the question whether a president can successfully rescind or modify a previous president's ban on offshore oil and gas drilling. It'll be a step into the unknown if he tries it.
Bloomberg BNA, the leader in providing news, analysis, and proprietary business data that positions legal professionals to best advise their clients. This is Bloomberg.